book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Alex, do not forget your Bible, son. You were in a rush, but you're here. And I'm glad to see you. Thank you for coming. Jeremiah chapter 1. So you're going to have to listen well, okay? Amen. We began a couple of weeks ago this new book. We gave the introduction to Jeremiah. And we are going to jump right into chapter number 1. We're going to begin reading, for sake of time, verse number 4 through verse number 10. And then we'll read verse 17 through 19. So pay attention. And here we go. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I commanded thee that thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Drop down to verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, an iron pillar, a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I come to you and I thank you so very much. For Father, you have given to us your holy word. You have preserved it. You have set it aside for us to grow in, for us to grow thereby. And as we continue within this book of Jeremiah, Father, you gave him a message to give to your people. And as you've preserved it for us today, may we glean much from it. May we find much truth, and may we find much application for our lives today. May we be bold in our understanding, in our witness. May we give it greatly. Help us this night, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. When we begin the book of Jeremiah, we find in the first three verses exactly who Jeremiah is, where he is coming from, who he is going to, and the surroundings of what is taking place there. He is giving this in during the reign of Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king over Judah, and has reigned for somewhere between 11 to 13 years of Josiah's reign. And the Bible says in verse number 4 that the word of the Lord came unto me. Now, this is Jeremiah speaking, and we see here this call from God. And so the first thing I want you to see is that Jeremiah the prophet was called by God. Just like every other prophet before him and every other prophet after him, Jeremiah was called by God. Now, I want you to see within these few verses here everything that this call includes. Now, as he said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, this calling was not just to the city of Judah. It was not just to the country of Israel. But this is going to encompass many nations and many messages from the prophet Jeremiah. Now, as God is preparing him and calling him, he tells him, I've sanctified you. I have set you aside. I have called you to do this, and I am ordaining thee a prophet unto the nations. And I want you to see the hesitation of Jeremiah here as he says, ha, ha, Lord God. He says, whoa, hold on a minute. He says, I can't speak. I'm a child. This is something that you will find to be very common when you see the call of God upon a man's life or upon a woman's life, and that is, I can't. I can't. Now, as Jeremiah said, I can't, he had the reason. He said, I'm a child. Now, we don't know in this particular instance how old Jeremiah was, but he does say he was a child. It's possible that he was somewhere in his teen years. It's possible that he was 7, 8 years old. God called Josiah and allowed Josiah to be king of Israel at 8 years old. Everybody with me? So all we know here is Jeremiah says, I can't, for I'm a child. We see others that said they couldn't. We see Moses. Moses said, I can't. Moses stuttered, and God said, I'll use you. You see, when the call of God comes upon a life, it doesn't matter the age, it doesn't matter the hesitancy there. If God calls, God provides. And God gives what is necessary to be used. But notice, as the Lord said unto him in verse number 7, he said, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And so I want you to notice all of that this call includes here. The call, first of all, includes a message that is to be given. Now, if we're going to apply these passages throughout the book of Jeremiah, of course, I know that this is, of course, was for the nations. It was for Judah. It was for Jerusalem. It was for the children of Israel. But there is some application that we can make today. God calls us His children. Can I remind you that God has given you and I a message that needs to be delivered? A message that God told us to give, that God told us to say, that God has given to us, that we are not to say, I cannot. For he said, for thou shalt I send you, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. The second thing I want you to notice is it's to be done without fear. It's to be done without fear and without regard to our own weakness, our own weaknesses. He said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. We're to give this message without fear. Jeremiah was. He said, be not afraid. He says in this, he says in verse number 9, he says, the Lord then put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in my mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. So we see all of these things there. God says through the 17 through 19 that he has the privilege. When God calls, it includes the privilege of God's divine protection. He says, as you go, thou shalt gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them in verse 17, that I command thee, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. God says, look, Jeremiah, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Now, here is something that I find interesting as we go through and we see these words. This is, of course, the beginning of the ministry of Jeremiah. As we go through the book of Jeremiah, you're going to see some amazing things happen. You're going to see some amazing messages from the prophet Jeremiah. You're going to see a people rejecting what he has to say. You're going to see a people not just rejecting what he has to say, but a people that one king throws him in prison. You say, whoa, I thought God said that nothing bad would happen. No, that's not what God said. That's not what God said. Look what he says. He says, "For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of thy land, of the land, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." He says, Jeremiah, I'm letting you know that I am protecting you, but you're in for a fight. You're in for a fight, man. And you're in for a fight, and it's going to be hard, but just know at the end of the day and through it all, I will deliver thee. To be delivered from something means he has to be in something, does he not? He's giving Jeremiah a picture here, and he's saying, hey, I've called you. I've set you aside, and I've given you this privilege here. I will protect you, and I will deliver thee. Just because something bad happens in our life does not mean that God has forsaken us. Amen. Does not mean that God has forsaken us. Does not mean that we just have to give up. Does not mean that we throw in the towel. Does not mean we throw up our hands and say, what? Thought you were going to protect me, God. No, he just said he'd deliver. He'll deliver. And we see this call from God that Jeremiah had. It was needful that Jeremiah, throughout this call, had an urgency of believing obedience. A believing obedience was required within this call. As we see this message to be given without fear and regard for one's own weakness, the divine protection of that privilege, and then the urgency of the believing obedience. He says in verse 17, he says, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins, arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." He says, don't be afraid of what they look like. Don't be afraid of the looks they give. He says, I've called you. I've called you. Now, I want you to go back to verse number 9 and 10 here. While we see this call that came from God, I want you to see the consecration to God. In verse number 9, the Bible says, "And the Lord, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Look what he says here. He says, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, number one, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." God says, all right, here's what I'm calling you to. Here's what I'm consecrating you to. You're going to have a job to do, and this job it's a big job. And God is equipping Jeremiah. He's equipped him with this message. And now he's qualifying his call. He's qualifying this call by saying, here you go, I've set thee this day over the nations to root out. He says it's going to be that which you're to root out. When you're taking in and you're pulling up things by the root, you're getting all the way down to the problem. Amen. He says, you're going to root out. Then what's he say next? He says, you're going to pull down. You're going to destroy. You're going to throw down. But notice within this message, and this is, again, this is all introduction to the book of Jeremiah and to the ministry of Jeremiah. It's somewhat of a overview of what is getting ready to take place as Jeremiah begins his ministry. to root out. Jeremiah is getting ready to preach messages and give illustrations to the children of Israel and to the nations surrounding Israel of the coming judgment of God. Now, Israel is already in the midst of some judgment, but there has been a handful of folks that have been left behind in Judah. And we see some have already been carried into Babylon, and those that are left, Jeremiah gets the privilege, he gets the opportunity to deliver this message, and he says your first message is going to be to root out and to pull down, to destroy. These are all of the messages that Jeremiah is going to bring. Jeremiah's message is the impending judgment of God upon his people and upon the nations surrounding his people. It's coming. And can I just come into some today's time? The judgment of God is coming once again. It's coming once again. And we have to be prepared. One of the reasons why I wanted to come to the book of Jeremiah is because as Jeremiah deals with the culture of his day, I know a book that was written, 400 years ago, 4,000 years ago, how can it be relevant to today? And we're talking about, 4,000 years of history here, 2,000 years of history. How is it relevant for today? Can I just say that the Bible is always relevant? The Word of God has never lost its relevance and never will. It's a book without ages, amen. We're serving a God that never changes. This is relevant. And it's amazing to me as I've been reading through ahead and studying throughout the book, man, I'm telling you, sometimes it reads like the 6 o'clock news. The things that were going on in Jeremiah's day, they're happening today. And I'm telling you, the impending judgment of God is coming once again. It's coming once again. And he tells us, if you read the scripture like I read the scripture and you see the description of the last days, we're here. Now we know a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. You say, how long do the last days last? I don't know. How long do we have? I don't know. I'm not here to make predictions or to say, hey, we've got about 57 and a half years left. I'm not here to do that. But I am telling you this, with something we ought to be concerned with. It ought to give us an urgency to take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell as many as we can for as long as we can, because God's judgment is coming. He says, tell them, it's going to destroy. Here's the thing with this, as he says that it's going to destroy, to throw down. This is going to have to clean up afterwards, to throw down. But I want you to notice the message of hope. There is a message of hope here. He says, not just to throw down, not just to destroy, not just to pull down, not just to root out. He says, but to build and to plant. I'm grateful for the grace and mercy of God. I'm grateful for this, to build and to plant. You see, God qualified Jeremiah with a commission to discourage evil and to encourage good. In verse 11 through verse 16, we see the first of many visions that God is going to give to Jeremiah. How many of you are visual learners? Once you see it, you get it. It's awesome to me to see God giving Jeremiah visual aid here. So he says, Jeremiah, right after he says, hey, you're going to root out, you're going to pull down, you're going to destroy, you're going to throw down, you're going to build, you're going to plant. He said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. They shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. What is this vision that Jeremiah has seen? You see, Jeremiah goes from being a hearer of the word to a seer of the word. As God said, what seest thou? He said, I see a rod of an almond tree. A rod. No almonds necessarily on it, but a rod. A branch, if you will. A branch of an almond tree. Maybe, possibly, one in bloom, possibly one getting ready to bud. What is he seeing next? He says, thou hast well seed, I will hasten my word to perform it. A rod, sometimes a rod of correction. We see this rod coming. He says, what seest thou the second time? And he says, I see a seething pot. That is a boiling pot. A boiling pot. You ever had a pot boil over on the stove? Oh, yeah. Now, if it's just water, it's not that big of a deal. But Rachel was making some stuff the other day, and it boiled over. She forgot it was on, and it boiled over, and, man, it stunk up the house. And it burned the top of the stovetop there. And she took, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's clean yet. Can she hear this, Brian? She's working on it. Thanks, Tina. It boils over. It makes a mess. Notice what he says. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. Here's the impending judgment. The north is coming. Babylon is coming in. He says, for lo, I will call on the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come. They shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, against the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness. God says nothing's going to be missed. Notice this. He says, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, burned incense unto other gods, worshiped the works of their own hands. You're telling me, does anybody see this today? Could we not just apply this to, pull up your phone here. I mean, don't pull up your phone, but if you could and you had to pull something open, could you find any one of these? Could we find some wickedness? Pretty sure we could. Could we find those who have forsaken God? Hey, how about this? Could we possibly even find some churches who have forsaken God? For the cause of money, for the cause of fame, for the cause of notoriety, they've forsaken the Lord? How about those who have burned incense? You say, well, you don't burn incense anymore. Have you been to New Orleans lately? Just saying. Burned incense unto other gods. Worshipped the works of their own hands. Oh my. Did you see what I've done? Have you seen what I've created? Oh, our own works. We're amazing creatures, aren't we? Notice we're creatures, not creators. But yet we think we can create something. Oh, when we worship it, we fall down at what we've done. Worship the works of their own hands. The vision, it's coming. Jeremiah, it's coming. Babylon's coming. But let me remind you, Jeremiah, your commission here. He says, thou therefore, gird up thy loins and arise. Jeremiah's commission to God, and we're closing here. He says, be quick. He says, Jeremiah, don't hasten. He says, gird up thy loins and arise. We have a message that is necessary. We have a message that must be heard. We have a message that must be heard today. We must be quick in this. He says, arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. He says, be busy. Speak unto them. Speak unto them all the words that I've commanded thee. He says, speak all of them. And he says, be bold. Be bold. Don't be dismayed. He says, don't be afraid. Just stand and speak what I've given to you. And Jeremiah, know when you do this, I'll protect you. He said, you're going to be like that fenced city, that iron pillar with brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee. Jeremiah, they're not going to like your words, but you've got to give it to them anyway. For they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee. Sounds very familiar, the words of Jesus. He tells us and tells his disciples, I am with thee. I'm with thee. We live in a strange day, but we live in an exciting day. We live in a day and age unlike any other. We live in the information age. And really, we have information overload, don't we? I mean, we can find out about anything that we want to know. We can ask questions and we can go and we can find answers. I just wonder if the answers that we find are truthful answers. There is a great deceiver out there. And I think part of his design in this information overload is to confuse us and to confuse those that want to know the truth. Jeremiah, don't be afraid. Be faithful. Because he is with us. He says, I am with thee. God is with us. And he has given us a message to give. He's given it to us and he's saying, give it. He's saying, go. Tell the world. Again, we live in an exciting day that is open. We can send messages around the world faster today than any other time. Any other time. We just send them out. Instantly, almost instantly received. It's amazing to me. We can send a message from our telephones, and as soon as I send it, I can send Stephen Underwood a message in South Africa. And if he's awake, he's probably not awake right now, but if I send him a message and he was awake, he could respond just like that. Just like that. Why are we not giving the gospel more? Oh, we have the printed word. We have the word that we can send out electronically. Oh, it's an exciting time. Yes, there's wickedness. Yes, there's information overload. We don't have anything to be afraid of because God says he is with us. And he is. And he has called us just like he called Jeremiah. He's called us and given us and commissioned us with a message. The message of the gospel. We must give it. Next week we'll be in Jeremiah chapter 2. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, God, I don't know the call that you have given to each individual person here tonight, but God, I know that if they know you as their personal Lord and Savior, God, you've called them. And God, you have given each one of them a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would be quick about it. For whether the time of this earth is quickly running out, Father, I do know that our time is running out. For none of us have the promise of tomorrow. None of us have the promise of next week, next year, or a next decade. So, Father, may today be the day of salvation as we give it to someone else. May we take this message of the gospel to our neighbors, to our families. May we send it across the world. Help us in this as you have called us to it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.